KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Robot at night.
Great Scott!
New powers rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
What we do, it is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle.
Exterminate!
It's a man-hound!
We're doomed.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
That's right. Please do all that, because we do love when you participate with the show. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you think is okay, and just be a part of the show.
Help us make it better.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole deal. But before we get to our news section, I need to tell you a little something. Something about blood pressure. You know anybody that's got some high blood pressure? Well, here's some good information
under
for
pressure.
You. Pressure. Well, see, this is probably over or as opposed to under. So that song won't help this, but yes. That is a song. Anyway, back to the PSA. All right, we have blood pressure. Are you at risk for high blood pressure? Like I asked earlier. Learn the symptoms and causes as well as the steps to prevention at the Santa Clara City Library. Sign up at the reference desk or call 408-615-2900. Walk-ins, welcome.
Dun, 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 dun.
The news. All right. What do we have for us with the news?
Well, we're going to jump right in with an interesting shift in the technology of transparency and metallics. Rather specifically, do you remember Star Trek IV, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
The one with the whales?
The one with the whales, yes.
Excuse me.
And
yeah. I got choked up by the whales.
Yes. Then does anyone? And if
you mocked me there.
No, I said yes.
How
yes.
dare you?
What?
You're fired. Get Caleb too. That's an old joke from early shows.
We're gonna need another Caleb.
All right. So, hey, welcome Caleb too. Hey, all right. Hopefully you're better than that other one.
Yes, I am. And if you remember well, the Star Trek. There's a scene in that movie where they're trying to make transparent aluminum. And Gotti does some fancy shenanigans with his keyboard and comes up with a formula that creates that. Well, that is rather science fiction-y. There has been a development of a transparent aluminum-based ceramic called aluminium oxynitride, a.k.a. ION, A-I-O-N. And it's a... This material is a lot like the stuff that Mr. Scott created back in Star Trek IV. And the research on this material goes all the way back to 1981.
Ooh.
And since then, they've been kind of promoting themselves as the transparent aluminum. And it's so it has armor capabilities. Like they have a video in the article here of it being used against a 50 caliber bullet at a 1.6 inches thick, and Whoa. It actually will stop the bullet. It's pretty impressive.
Nice.
Yep. It's expensive, naturally, and is reserved for high-performance applications, especially in military fields. Ion is manufactured in Massachusetts and is from the Surmet Corporation, for making for armored windows, lenses, and battlefield optics and seeker drones.
So here's the question, though. If you want to recycle the stuff, where do you take it?
Ooh, good question.
You take it to someone who knows what to do with it.
Nice recover.
So yeah, it's a really amazing material that's been in constant development, and it's where science fiction and science fact have that kissing cousin syndrome, where it's like they're almost but not quite the actual substance that showed up in the movies.
Yeah, it seems like something they need to strap in some new product as like a screen for a new cell phone or something like that, just so they can make that one of the big selling points, you know?
That would be sort of awesome. Yeah, right now the Gorilla Glass has taken the center stage for that, but it'd be interesting to what would come of it.
Apple, so, now with transparent aluminum.
Take a bullet and keep on ticking. Maybe not. So what's
as long as it's a 1.5 inch thick screen and the bullet is 50 cal.
Well, if it's a lower cal, you can get it with a thinner screen for that, right? Right?
I don't know. I don't know the specifics. Maybe it shatters with anything less.
Who knows? So what's? It looks like you have the next.
Well, before we move on, my last question with that.
Yes.
Can I build a DeLorean out of it?
You probably could. It would look a little funky, but you might be able to. It'd be really, really, really ridiculously expensive.
Would it have the ability to travel in time?
No, you need the stainless steel body frame for that. That helps for the conductivity and the dissipation of heat.
Dang from it.
Traveling it faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right.
Just saw that movie last week, so I can confirm that.
You concur?
I concur.
All right, nice.
Okay, and then in our next story, I thought it was kind of interesting that Aston Martin is getting into new ventures. There's a kind of neat setup where they've started making office furniture. It looks really neat, like something out of some science fiction video game or whatnot. It's a lot of bent and shaped metal.
So wait. Aston Martin, the car company, is making furniture?
Exactly. you can own an Aston Martin now, albeit it will probably be a lamp or a desk. not cheap, probably.
So is it better or worse than can I still feel like James Bond with my Aston Martin lamp?
Or desk, or chair.
Me, personally, I think so. But, if nothing else, you're at least one step closer.
Sounds good to me.
And being a step closer to being James Bond, always a good thing.
I wouldn't mind being a step closer to James Bond.
Right.
Now, can I get the Aston Martin desk, Aston Martin chair, sit down in the chair at the desk and go, and will I get like the sensation of driving an Aston Martin?
Well, okay, that last part, maybe not so much, but everything else you can definitely do.
Okay,
except
right.
I'm not completely sure there's an Aston Martin chair. Right now, all I'm seeing is a lamp and a desk. But
like baby steps.
Right.
Well, then maybe you can use your ejector seat to get that dork off to the other side of your desk.
I was waiting for that.
That would be kind of cool if they had the ejector seat built in. But right now, it just looks like a drawer.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I want my Aston Martin drawer.
Turn lane.
But yeah, it totally looks like something out of a scene from Mass Effect. Like, I can imagine Miranda Lawson behind it lecturing me about how I did a mission wrong.
And then at the same time giving you eyes like, let's just go make out in the next
right,
room.
Right, those bedroom eyes. She can't help it. It's built into her genes.
That's true. Girls got to have the shepherd.
That's just built into everybody's genes.
That's just built into the Mass Effect's genes.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter what species you are.
How you make your shepherd look.
Yeah.
He can be one charismatic guy. What can I say?
Right. Yeah. Well, or she.
Or she.
Sometimes it does depend on what sex your shepherd is.
This is true. This is very true.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about Mass Effect, the video game series on,
right.
You know,
on Xbox. Go check it out.
You have some control over what sort of character you play. Yeah. So
it's a good game. Go out, get it. It's fun.
Yes.
3 looks like it'll probably be amazing.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's coming out soon.
Yes.
Right.
March. I have been this excited for a series of games for a long time now.
So what's I believe it.
Well, we go from Austin Martin lamp and table to Croc.
It's a Croc.
Steals Aussie zoo worker's lawnmower. That's right. This story from the SF Gate is about a cranky Croc stealing an Aussie zoo worker's lawnmower.
Nice.
Is it an Austin Martin's lawnmower?
I don't believe so.
Ah, wow.
But the Croc is named Elvis.
Oh, nice.
A giant saltwater crocodile named Elvis, with an apparent affinity for household machinery, charged at an Australian reptile park worker Wednesday before stealing his lawnmower. Tim Faulkner, operations manager at the Australian Reptile Park north of Sydney, was one of 3 workers tending to the lawn in Elvis's enclosure when he heard reptile keeper Billy Coolett yelp. Faulkner looked up to see the 16-foot, 1,100-pound crocodile lunging out of its lagoon at Coolett, who...
That's not a small croc.
No.
No, that's a croc.
Yeah. That's not a croc. This is a croc. He warded the creature off with his mower. Before we knew it, the croc had the mower above his head, Faulkner said. He got his jaws around the top of the mower and picked it up and took it under water with him. The workers quickly left the enclosure. Elvis, meanwhile, showed no signs of relinquishing his new toy and guarded it closely all morning. Eventually, Faulkner realized he had no other choice but to go back for the mower. Collett lured Elvis to the opposite end of the lagoon with
I disagree. Okay. There's always a choice when it comes to a 16-foot crocodile.
Yeah.
I think there's, yeah.
I think, can we find some money in the budget to get another mower, please?
Right. There's at least 2 choices, in fact.
Yeah. Let's see. He lured Elvis to the opposite end of the lagoon with a heaping helping of kangaroo meat.
Ooh.
There you go. While Faulkner plunged fully clothed into the water before grabbing the mower, however, he had to search the bottom of the lagoon for 2 3-inch teeth Elvis lost during the encounter. He quickly found them and escaped from the pool unharmed and with mower in tow.
Wow.
That's...
So not only did he go back for the mower, he was concerned about the crocodile's dentistry.
Yeah,
hey, he is a zookeeper after all.
Exactly.
That's... That is dedication.
Though many may question the wisdom of going after a couple of teeth with a massive crocodile lurking just feet away, Faulkner said finding them was critical. They clog up the filter system, he said. And he said, they're a nice souvenir. Elvis has a history of crankiness and has lunged at staff before, though this is the first time he has stolen something from one of the workers. The croc was initially captured in the northern Australian city of Darwin, where he had been attacking fishing boats. He was then moved to a crocodile farm where he proceeded to kill his 2 crocodile girlfriends.
Oh,
wow.
This guy's
a winner.
Yeah. In 2008, he was moved to the reptile park where he has enjoyed solitary confinement in his own enclosure.
Like the real Elvis, right?
Yeah. When they have the dormant croc, they're just full of testosterone, Faulkner said. He's got his beautiful own yard. He wants to be a solitary creature. He's happy. Despite having to give up the lawnmower, Elvis was clearly pleased with himself, Faulkner said. Mm. He's beating us today. He's kingpin, Faulkner said. He's going to be walking around with his chest puffed out all day. And as for the staff at the reptile park, I can't lie. The bosses are not going to be happy about the cost of a new lawnmower, Faulkner said with a laugh. But we love it. No one's injured. And when we get scared and it all turns out to be good, it's actually quite enjoyable.
Nice. There you go.
So there you go. a happy ending.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end up like a Far Side comic, like yeah. with a crocodile sitting on a riding lawnmower with a cigarette in its mouth.
I was thinking like with glasses and a cigar.
Yeah, there you go.
Or a pipe and a smoking jacket.
Do you think a tie or no?
Maybe. Depends on the attitude of the croc.
All right.
Funny fact about the phrase kangaroo. Apparently it's derived from the original phrase meaning, what did you say?
Mm.
Or, I have no idea what you're saying. So when all those people are down there, so what's that thing over there? Kangaroo? What they were actually saying is, what are you saying?
I like that. So now you can use kangaroo as... what?
Yeah. Right, like, kangaroo?
Kangaroo? So from stolen lawnmowers to childhood obesity, or the lack thereof, possibly.
Hmm.
A study has shown that of nearly 20,000 middle schoolers has found that kids who attend schools that sell junk food, such as soda and donuts, do not gain more weight than students who attend schools where this type of food is not available. It was published in this month's issue of Sociology of Education, the study is, and it contradicts early research with smaller sample sizes that show the availability of junk food correlates with the rates of childhood obesity. This new study's author, Pennsylvania State Professor Jennifer Hook, said that in a statement that the results surprised her. Hook hypothesizes that kids don't actually have much time to eat at school, so it's their out-of-school eating habits that are a more important factor of determining weight. The children's environments at home and in their communities may provide so many more opportunities to eat unhealthy foods that competitive food sales in schools have little to no influence on the children's weight. Have little influence on children's weight, she writes. Eating habits are set very early, so efforts to encourage healthy food choices should start before middle school, Hook adds.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, you don't have kids like sitting around a round table chomping down stuff like they're hungry, hungry hippos.
Chomping yep. down round table?
Right. Yeah. Pizzas rolling around.
In little white spheres.
Right.
So, it goes to show that it's what... It's like, it's not video games that make you fat, it's sitting on your butt that makes you fat.
The more you know.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wait, you can't do that. That's copyright, all right?
Oh, crap.
Ding, ding, boom, boom, boom.
We're shutting you down. No! Please, no. We still...
If you could just say twinkle.
Shooting star.
Right, there you go.
There
you go. That could work.
Well, speaking of shooting stars... Caleb and Jason, did you know that you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone?
I did what? Not.
That's right. Just download a mobile Shoutcast app such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp and search for our internet stream.
Sounds great.
Even Little John approves.
Right.
I
lied there. I have heard that before.
I will edit that out of the podcast.
Okay, and then in our next story, we have Capcom themselves, the giant mega corporation that they are. They're looking into the possibility of starting up a new reality TV show.
Like we need another one of those.
Oh, I think we do. What are you talking about?
Before you get any further, just because you mentioned Capcom, and I'll probably forget this.
Okay.
But I saw the new trailer for Resident Evil 6.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited. Because it has Leon and Chris in it.
Ah.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, too, because it sounds like they're really pushing the action on that one, since 5 was so successful and it was like nudging more that direction.
And it looks like they're sort of stepping into the 21st century where you could like move and shoot.
What?
No.
What? My mind has just exploded all over my skull that you can move and shoot?
I think so. I mean, that's what it looks like from the trailer. So until I... You know, here, like, officially it can, there's a chance it not, but if it doesn't, it's like, wow, come on.
Now the real question is, do they still turn like tanks?
I hope not. Doesn't look like it from the trailer.
That's good. That was, most frustrating part. I need to go forward and turn. No, I need to go forward, stop, turn to the right, and then go forward again. Okay, okay.
Right. Take everything you've learned about video games up to this point in your life and throw it out the window for this game.
The window.
Well, unfortunately, none of those characters have anything to do with this, but...
Oh, well.
Right. But it is interesting stuff.
Exactly. It's Capcom.
But, Cross Salt, it's actually going to be a show that concentrates on the new video game that's coming out that's Street Fighter versus Tekken. It's going to have five people from either side, and they're going to vie for dominance and to end up giving their own twist on...
All right, so they're going to have like people like running around shouting, Hadouken! Throwing like little like rubber four square balls at each other? Or?
I don't know. At this point, it's just in casting. So
or that one guy, I forget his name, but he goes like, come on.
Oh.
Oh, shoot, which one was that guy? Lee Chaolan.
Okay, yeah. I always call him Colin. Oh, our friend Colin, because he picks that one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's Colin's guy. Colin.
Right.
Sorry.
It's white-haired Asian Colin.
Yeah, there we go.
Kinda.
In a purple suit.
Yes.
With a unicorn on his back.
Yeah.
But he wears a leather jacket. Otherwise, it's just a purple suit.
I need to get him a jacket with a unicorn on the back. I bet he'd wear it all the time.
He'll love you for it.
Yeah, okay, just imagine him. Maybe you would. Come on. To his girlfriend. Come on. To everybody answers the phone. Come on.
I think that's pretty good.
No one's getting this. Like, well, that'd be funny if we knew the guy Colin.
There has to be at least one Tekken fan out there obsessing over me.
Someone's cracking. Oh yeah, that guy. I thought I was the only one who noticed that. Come on.
And that one move from an unpopular character from the series
of games that is mildly obscure.
And unfortunately, I'm not actually sure he's going to be in the Tekken versus Street Fighter either.
What?
But I haven't seen him in any of the stuff for it. But I have sort of mixed feelings on it because it's done very much in the style of Street Fighter. So I'm not sure the Tekken players are going to have much of a chance because it's not really built like Tekken at all. But it should look pretty cool, if nothing else.
Yeah. It's a showdown everyone's been wanting in video games, but... It's not something I'm sure we would want to play.
Right.
Well, they're going to have Tekken versus Street Fighter also.
That's true.
I haven't heard about anything about it for so long that I'm starting to question whether it's going to exist or not.
I think they're waiting till like, you know, this one. And
okay.
I guess if this one bombs, they might not do it, but right. They made it sound like they were both like talking with each other like, okay, we want to have these characters in it. And or well, actually it was more like they weren't letting like each other influence it, like the Street Fighter people weren't saying like, oh, you need to have those people in our game, and vice versa. It was like they both kind of agreed to leave each other alone on it.
Uh huh.
So
yeah, I was happy to see that they have basically my two favorite characters. They have Lily and Asuka in there, so that'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, I can't go too wrong there.
And the moves look like they flow like the normal one, regular Tekken, but. Who knows? Without an actual 3D environment, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. I'll give it a try.
Oh yeah.
Give it the old college try.
I will Redbox that.
But so this is a reality series, show
right?
That you're talking about.
The reality series. They're just in the middle of casting for it right now. And I assume it's to get people interested in the game. And nothing showing where it's going to show up or if it's going to be just like a limited web series or whatnot. But,
oh, okay. Nothing on actual...
Right. Since it's still in pre-production.
Pre-production. Okay. Huh. Well, I'm sure we'll keep you informed.
Oh yeah,
we hear anything.
We'll tell you where to find it when we find it.
Yeah. We'll let you know.
We'll let you know. Maybe you should avoid this, or well, watch it if you need a good laugh.
Yeah. Let's see. That brings us up to.
Is it my turn?
I believe it's your turn.
Okay. Well, from Tekken reality series to a story about a Thai dude and his love of I'll just read you the headline.
Okay,
there.
Go for it.
I got this from MSNBC, the World News. Till death do us part, marriage to dead girlfriend draws mixed reaction.
What?
Hopeless romantic or macabre publicity hound. A Thai television director's decision to marry his dead girlfriend and post photos and video of the event to Facebook and YouTube is drawing mixed reaction from the public.
Really?
There's a shock. There's a shock for you.
Okay.
So he knows for a fact that she was willing to marry him.
Yeah, I believe so. I'll continue on the story. We'll find out.
That's the scary part to me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as I've stated previously times before, but I feel like I should mention again, I mispronounce the names to protect the innocent.
So yes, the innocent.
And the invaluable.
Exactly. Because you got, you know, who else is going to look out for him? But anyway, Chadil Defi, also known as Def Yingayan, married his girlfriend of 10 years, Serena Annie Kamsuk.
Okay.
Early this month, as she lay in a coffin in a wedding come funeral at a temple in Serene Province. During the ceremony, the 28-year-old groom, wearing a black tuxedo, placed a ring on the finger of his late girlfriend, whose body was laying on a raised platform, dressed in a white bridal dress. Excuse me. He put photos of himself and his dead bride on his personal Facebook page under an album titled Corpse Bride. How clever. He also uploaded a video to YouTube. The couple met while studying at Eastern Asia University 10 years ago and had planned to get married for a while, but Kamsuk died in a car accident on January 3rd, according to media reports. She was 29.
That's unfortunate.
Yes, it is. Let's see. We got a friend of Defi, the dude, the Thai guy, the television director. His friend Ansuri Pravavediyagaguga wrote in an opinion column this week in the
I am pretty sure you said that perfectly, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Compliments to the chef.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. opinion column this week in the Bangkok Post. The wedding, quote unquote, was his attempt to right a wrong, however belated the gesture might have been. As expected, the initial public reaction was an outpouring of sympathy for the groom and a wave of sentimental remarks. The romantically inclined were moved by this expression of true love, however unconventional. It seemed to hit a nerve with many people. The offline media picked up on the buzz, too, and went to town with the story. Chadil found himself under a spotlight, experiencing an unexpected 50 minutes of fame. Also, as expected, within days, the backlash began, and it wasn't at all kind. Yeah. There was a big shocker.
I'm pretty sappy, and this is creepy. I'm sorry.
In a heartbeat, Chadil went from being viewed as a hopeless romantic to being vilified as a publicity-hungry opportunist. See.
I think you can go farther than just that.
Yeah, that's probably nice.
Right, that's the kind side of things.
Prabhavidyagagli said Defi was heartbroken and wasn't thinking about the possibility of fame when he decided to put a ring on her cold finger. He merely wanted to make things right, however small or inadequate the gesture might seem.
That's why he tweeted it.
Yeah, and videos of it on YouTube and his Facebook page. So we're all in agreements that this is insane, right? Jason, you wouldn't do this, right?
You know, I can't judge other cultures so quickly, you know, and this is another culture, and no, it's insane.
It's insane. Okay, Jason says it's insane. Caleb?
I can see where he's going with it, but I think it crosses that line into, that's not such a hot idea.
Would you do this?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you don't need to.
Yeah, I don't need to. Well,
let's say, you know, I don't want to be negative, but let's say, since you are the only one married on the show.
Yes.
Let's say your wife, I won't say her name just to protect her unless you want.
The innocent and the invaluable.
Exactly. Right. Let's say.
You can just mispronounce her name.
Yeah.
There you go.
She's a lovely lady. Let's say she died in a car accident before you guys got married. Would you have done what this guy did and married her corpse?
No, I would have said some really touching things at the service,
and then went, "All right, bring on the ladies." Right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I definitely would. There'd be.
Well, yeah, morning period. You know, maybe a day or two, and then
right.
All
right,
bring on the ladies. Single ladies, single ladies.
That's a bit much, don't you think?
Mourn for a few days.
Any more than an hour, people start treating you like you're a psycho.
Y'all are sick.
I mean, come on, get over it. It was so 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, she's gone. She's in the ground. Time to live your life.
Right.
What, are we living on internet time here? What is this?
Right.
Yes, we are living in the age of the internet, so... Get to it.
True. If she's under the grass, I'm playing. How's no?
Something.
Yeah.
Just you tweet this. Just buried wife. Single. Any single ladies? Question right. mark. And then no.
Facebook status just adjusted.
Yeah.
Gosh. I think it's complicated. Is good for like about an hour or so, and then.
Man.
Where you're debating whether you're going to do this Thai service. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. Even if you have every romantic bone in your body, this is not such a good idea. Or if you're going to do it, don't broadcast it on YouTube and tweet about it.
But this is unprecedented, right? Nobody else has ever tried this at any point. Or
not that we know of.
Okay.
I'm sure someone may have done it, but they had the sense to not make a big public spectacle out of it.
Maybe it was before the YouTubes.
Yeah, here comes more. Yeah, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, in a less, significantly less macabre story, we have robots and children. So there's some interesting studies, survey taken in down in Australia, I believe, by.
You sure it's not Austria? They're kind of similar.
I'm pretty sure it's not Austria.
Okay.
I
confuse them all the time.
Yes, but they were talking about the using how people relate to robots, like you know, like how, especially specifically children, how they relate to robots. And it starts with a story about a girl talking about
robots don't have DNA, so how's that possible?
Well, they don't relate like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Move on.
Yes.
Okay.
Talking about how just you know, you having the robot help her with her homework by, you know, doing math races and stuff like that. So,
okay.
So, you know, kind of like, you know, there was a survey of kids in 6 countries, and they all asked the same question. What would happen if robots were part of your everyday life? And they asked kids to draw and explain their answers. And the results were naturally kind of cute. And, but some of them were,
scary.
Surprising. You know, they were
downright dangerous.
Right.
This is my robot friend. We go stomping human feet and kittens and, oh my gosh, child, what's wrong with you? No, that was not one of the answers.
Some people dreamed of marrying their robot.
Don't want to know. Don't want to know.
In a touching service.
But anyway, the study was intended to gauge how students see robots fitting into their lives. A group called Latitude Research collaborated with the LEGO Learning Institute and Australia's Project Synthesis. I worked with 340...
Wait, how do you say that again?
Project Synthesis.
One more time?
No. I worked with 340 students from Australia, France, Germany, South Africa, and the United Kingdom and the United States. Notably absent were the Asian countries, and an odd omission was the popularity of robot. Given the and this was strange given that robots are pretty popular in Japan. But Latitude says...
No!
They did bring us the Aibo, after all, and Asimo and the...
Aibo? Is that like... what's that?
Tebow? Tivo?
No, the Billy Blanks guy? With the...
Oh, Tybo.
Tybo!
No.
Oh, okay.
One's a rather cute robotic dog. The other one's a TV... A, video series.
I thought you were going to say sitcom for a while.
Like, sitcom, no, that's not it at all.
From the makers of Scrubs.
They say they plan to, the Latitude Group says they plan to expand their study. But the kids drew robots in a variety of settings, mostly involving bots as patient supportive educators, encouraging kids to try new things without being self-conscious or embarrassed. Help kids with spelling mistakes, improve math skills, so on and so forth. Only 25% of the students imagined robots as household servants completing chores. Latitude scored their responses on a variety of variables. You can read their full report and a link to the article on Popular Science. Basically, robots are helping to reveal a potential shift in kids' social and learning psychologies, moving from acts of knowledge transmission towards acts of exploration, collaboration, and creation, the study author says. So basically, the study seems to be saying that robots are helping kids actually learn as opposed to regurgitating information. So,
man, I'm uncomfortable. If I had a child, I wouldn't want my child exploring themselves with a robot.
No, no, not exploring themselves, exploring just in general, like exploring science, exploring,
that sounds safer, like
reading, exploring.
Yes.
Legos.
Okay. That's what Caleb meant.
Okay.
So there you are. Robots are coming soon.
Well, we spoke of something, we spoke of health earlier, and we just talked about robots possibly helping kids instead of just being their supreme overlords,
right,
as movies have depicted.
I, for one, welcome our robotic overlords.
You would.
Well, the Food and Drug Administration advises you to be aware of health fraud.
Dun, dun, dun.
Be suspicious of products that claim to cure many diseases or that promise quick fixes. Remember that success stories are easy to make up. More information is at www.fda.gov/health fraud.
Yeah, robots wouldn't try and defraud you.
Yeah.
Man.
They would just smash you.
Crash you. Spoosh. Or something like that.
I'm imagining like little sugar cubes that robots construct of people.
Oh, man.
This is crystallized people.
This is people. It's people.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for our news section, right?
So. I believe that wraps up the news.
That's about all I have.
Sounds good to me. All right. Then I think we should take a music break.
Indeed.
And then we'll come back with some more Robots Attack.
Do-do-do.
Thanks for listening. We are Robots Attack.
Beep, 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 beep.
And now, back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground set.
That's right, welcome back to Robots Attack. Now, I have another list. If you listened to last week's show, I did our first part of Time to Feel Old, with the movies. Now I bring you time to feel old with music.
Mm, okay. Yay. Okay. Wait, no, boo.
We're on a radio station, you know, figured, hey, why not look back, turn back the clock 20 years and see what music came out 20 years ago. Now, I don't have gross totals or anything like I did for the movies. I just have what month they came out, the band, and the album name. There were a bunch more. I just tried to grab ones that I sort of recognize, and I think you mm-hmm. guys will recognize, or at least yeah, some of the listeners right out there.
Sounds good. Sounds
okay.
good.
So, okay, this started off 20 years ago in January.
Mm-hmm.
Green Day's Kerplunk came out.
Oh, wow.
20 years ago.
And they were even incredibly young back then, too.
Yeah. I feel like it should be like the Conan O'Brien thing. Like,
the year 1992. Well, you could do that if you want to occasionally while I'm, you know,
My voice would give out.
Oh, okay. Probably for the best then. Yeah. Because we need your voice.
We do.
Because you're going to be on The Voice, for The Voice, with the spinning chair.
By The Voice.
By The Voice. Anyway. Ooh.
Sitting next to The Voice.
Back to feeling old.
Oh, right. The Voice. I get it. I see what you did there.
Next, we had Rancid with Rancid.
Wait, what?
You know, that's self-titled album.
Which also a local, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Then we have the Afghan Whigs. I've heard
also
of
also local,
this band.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
No,
I don't know. I've heard of the band, but I don't know if I've ever heard any of their music. So, but I was like, oh, I think I recognize that. So.
I remember all of the big signs at the record stores. That's about all I remember.
Okay. Well, they had Congregation. That was the album.
I barely remember record stores.
In the year 1992.
Right.
Anyway, we don't want to get sued. In February, we had Fish, A Pitcher of Nectar. Then we have, which kind of ties into one of the movies that came out, Wayne's World soundtrack.
Yes!
Good soundtrack.
That's a very good soundtrack.
I mean, I think that movie and just that kind of introduced a generation to Queen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
That reminds me.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No, I have to
interrupt here because I know the audience has not met my father, but but he's kind of an older, like, ex-construction worker type, and he still does, like, almost exclusively very manly things, like fixing up whatever you can think of. And I was surprised to find out that he was... He's suddenly become a big fan of Pink.
Okay.
And it threw me off because it's like, wait,
Pink?
What? Yeah, like, where did that even come from? And he's like a big fan of all of the different music shows that they've been putting on TV lately.
Like
and
American Idol, The Voice,
exactly,
all that,
sort of stuff.
Okay.
And so I guess they're putting more concerts on cable also because of it. And so... Anyway, it's just sort of funny finding out that one of his favorite songs that he's heard Pink do was Bohemian Rhapsody like a Pink version. And
I may have to go look that up later.
Right. He forced me to watch it. and I was entertained, although I would have been anyway, since I've always kind of been a guilty pleasure fan of hers anyway. Mm. So.
Did you admit that to your dad? Like, well, you know, I actually do kind of have a guilty pleasure.
No.
All right. Next we have Tori Amos with Little Earthquakes. Mm. We have Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power. I definitely remember rocking out to that one. And we had the debut album of TLC. 20 years ago. Left Eye and...
Nice.
Dang, I forget the other two's name.
Right.
That's the only one I remember.
Were Salt and Peppa in that? No.
No. They were their own thing.
On the TLC Tip. That was the name of it.
Okay.
All right. In March, we had Right Said Fred.
Do we all know who
Right Said Fred is?
Yeah.
All right. For those younger listeners out there, he was the I'm Too Sexy guy.
Right, which is like sort of the old-timey version of, what's the new song?
Oh, I'm Sexy and I Know It by LMAFO. Right. LMFAO.
So yeah, if you like that song, check out like the early 90s version of it, basically.
Where it started.
Right.
Yes.
Said Fred.
Then we have King's X with King's X. We have White Zombie, La Sexoristo, Devil Music, Volume 1.
Good times.
And then we have one of Caleb's bands he despises. Like, he goes off on this band constantly. Like,
I can feel the despising just this running band. Off of him right now.
I'm looking confused right now.
Dripping. They might be Giants with Apollo 18. He hates that band. I know he does. He just like cannot stand them. But he loves En Vogue. They had Funky it's Divas true. With the song, you know, remember that song, You're Never Gonna Get It?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen Jay do, or Caleb do, the little, like, finger wave, like, never.
Yep. It was hilarious when we were 20 years younger. Right. Him doing it.
I laughed.
Oh, yeah.
I think. I can't remember.
Probably. And everyone got a good chuckle out of it, I'm sure.
Then we had Def Leppard's Adrenalize, and to round it out in March, we had Criss Cross, Totally Crossed Out.
Oh, you
remember,
man.
Remember those guys? 20 years ago, the backwards pants.
Yeah.
Jump, Criss Cross will make you jump. Danny Mac will make you jump.
I remember going into a Sears at Valco and seeing like a Criss Cross video going up in like the young men's department. And they had, I think it was the Nintendo 64 had just come out. And they were showing off that you can now play with a little dinosaur that has now become very popular. So
there you go.
I will always relate Criss Cross to Yoshi.
Yoshi, wow. Right. Poor Yoshi.
Right, Yoshi with backwards pants. Jumping.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's a horrible thought.
In April, we had L7, Bricks Are Heavy. They're, you know, popular song, Pretend That We're Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I looked, I was like, is that the album with that one? Yeah, okay. I put it on there just in case. I don't really know if they had any other huge hits beyond that one, but so.
Yeah.
They came back later as mentioning. L8, I think.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Will there be a resurgence to L9?
Maybe. But this next band, another one Caleb absolutely hates, Weird Al Yankovic off the Deep End. He hates that guy. It's weird how much he despises Weird Al for some reason.
I'm just too white.
Seems
nerdy.
To be a lovely gentleman, nerdy. But for some reason Caleb hates him. Next we have Beastie Boys, Check Your Head. That's 20 years old.
Mm. Wow.
We have The Cure, Wish. That's 20 years old. And then Annie Lennox, Diva, Walking on Broken Glass.
Yeah, okay. I remember I couldn't get away from that song for a while.
Yeah, there was another one on that one. I forget the name, but that was the one I saw. Oh, I remember that one. Okay, May, we have The Black Crowes, excuse me, The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of the album. Iron Maiden, Fear of the Dark. And then the last one in May, Caleb won't stop singing this song. Jason will attest to it because... Mm. He had to live with Caleb for a little while, and this was coming out of Caleb's room all the time. Mm-hmm. Billy Ray Cyrus, Some Gave All, which contained, guess what? Come on, Caleb, hum us some of, you know, that song you love.
It's so cute. He's trying to pretend.
Oh, I don't remember like, Achy Breaky Heart. No, that wasn't my favorite song for 20 years ago.
He's doing like the questioning face, looking at the ceiling. Like,
yeah.
Next, but we know.
Yeah, we know. We know. Jason and I know. And you audience out there, you know.
You shouldn't hide from your love of the Cyrus.
Come on out. Come on, start singing that Don't Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart.
That's okay.
All right, well then you got to sing something from this next one. In June, we had Black Sabbath, Dehumanizer. You want to hum anything from that one? Okay. Then how about this one? Elton John's The One, which had the song The One, which was on the radio more than one times in a day.
I must have somehow dodged that station. I don't know how I managed it.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually think I did too. I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that? Like, all you ever needed was The One. Obviously sung better by Elton John, but you know. That's so, wait, the
now
only
I
line
just,
I remember.
I want to hear more just to like maybe.
That's the only line I remember. Oh, okay. But
didn't they use that in a Pepsi commercial?
Probably.
Is that where that ad campaign came from?
Possibly. I don't know.
Man.
Okay, next was PJ Harvey's debut, Dry, and then...
Yeah, that one was good.
Next was another soundtrack, the Boomerang soundtrack. Now, why I included this one...
Yeah,
okay.
Because it featured Boyz II Men's End of the Road.
Oh, yeah. That song
that was huge.
Yeah. it still won't go away. Anybody that wants to like do four-part harmony, like they'll bust that one out.
Bust it out, Caleb. Come on, bust it out.
Okay.
Do no, two parts.
You have to bust out something on this
I'm
list.
Not a Thruvian throat singer. I can't do two notes at the same time.
You heard me sing The One, right?
I did.
It doesn't matter if you can't sing.
To right. The end it's almost
there. We go.
The road, 'cause I can't let go.
Something.
I can't remember those words either.
You belong to you. Something right like
it's unnatural.
That's right. Yeah. To the end of the road.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. Okay, next, to round out June, we have Faith No More's Angel Dust. And then July brought us Megadeth, Countdown to Extinction. I remember really listening to that album a ton of times. Same with the Pantera one. I was big into all that stuff then. Mm-hmm. I still like it now, but I don't
it's
rock
different.
It out as much yeah. as I did then. Yeah.
You don't crank it to 11 when that one comes on?
I can remember our old friend Chris, like totally confused why I like that music. He would always like baffle him. Like, that was part of the fun. Next, we had House of Pains, and another Jump song.
Yeah,
sing that one.
He can't. After the legal dispute.
I think all it wasn't just jump or something like that, or I don't know, whatever. Anyway, next is Sonic Youth's Dirty, and then the debut album of Mary J. Blige. What's the 411?
Oh, wow.
August.
See, now that last one makes me feel old, not because I remember the song. It's like seeing her now.
Yeah.
And it's like, she doesn't seem young at this point. It's like, no. Wait
a minute. Your debut was 20 years ago?
Right.
Okay. August brought us the Jim Blossoms' New Misery Experience, which contained the song Hey Jealousy.
Yeah.
You remember that one, right, Caleb?
Yes, I do. Me.
Okay. Did you? No.
No, it's okay. And I'm not gonna.
Okay,
not this time.
And also in August was Eric Clapton's Unplugged, pretty much started all the Unplugged albums after that. Which I don't think any of the other ones were really as big as that one.
Yeah,
that was pretty much
that one.
Yeah, I don't know how close the Nirvana one came, but
the Nirvana one was pretty big too.
Yeah, but it wasn't like. I think it was a little different associated as far as like.
MTV Unplugged as opposed to just being the...
Well, I think it was still MTV, but
right.
I don't know if it was the same... Like, I don't think it's not the same year, but like...
Oh, yeah.
I think it was... They had like a string of Unplugs that they did, and I think like the Eric Clapton one like kind of started it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, everyone really liked this. You go Unplugged.
That makes
and
sense.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it started with an up and then ended with a bang with the Nirvana one. It was probably the last good one.
Yeah.
In our opinion. But who knows? Maybe you liked the 10,000 Maniacs Unplugged.
Maybe.
Maybe you did. That's the only other one that popped in my head. Okay. September. We have the Screaming Trees' "Sweet Oblivion" with the song "Nearly Lost You." I'm sure you're familiar. It's on the Rock Band. If you hear it, if you heard it, you'd know.
Yeah, it's probably one that's like, I never knew the knew it's who
like,
it was.
I nearly lost you there.
Okay. I think. Okay.
It's like, and that's one of those songs that just nailed that. That early 90s alternative sound. There was so many songs that you can tell exactly where they were in the entire chronology just because they all had that kind of feel to them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily sounding the same, but just, yeah, it's just this weird aura that comes off of them.
The early 90s. Oh, yeah. Now, this next one, I don't know if it really captured the early 90s, but we'll let Caleb be the jub. Judge.
The Jub.
You could be the Jub. You could be the Jub and the Judge.
Oh, right.
I like using words. Verbs. It's Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. You Gotta Believe, the second and final album from them.
Wow.
I don't know anything on it.
I remember the girls going wild. That's what I remember.
Hip hop forever and all that until I become a movie star.
Right. Yeah. Then we have Blind Melon, which had their popular song on it with the Bumblebee girl. Then we had, because I wanted to include, you know, all spectrums of music, Garth Brooks, The Chase. I don't really know because I'm not really familiar with Garth Brooks, but I do recognize the album cover of this. It was like he's in the black and white shirt and like half the album is white and black.
Right.
Yeah. It's a pretty popular cover.
Right.
It was like on a memorable image. Of the BMG like music club list,
forever.
I go, you know, you want this one.
Well, it looks good. It's a really good picture, so it makes a strong impact. So it's gonna hang around for a while,
right?
Then we had, Cannibal Corpse, Tomb of the Mutilated. I included this one because this album was banned in Germany for the cover. Like the graphic cover and just like the stuff it talked about and everything. And yeah, if you want to go check out that cover, it's pretty interesting.
I'm sure Google Image Search will pull that up real quick.
Yeah. It has some dead people doing things on the cover.
Okay, no longer looking for it.
the Deffy guy might like it. Married is...
I think he was inspired.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Then we had Nine Inch Nails is Broken. Then we had another big one, Alice in Chains' Dirt. Another big one. Actually, yeah, this September, as we kind of get towards the holiday season, like a lot of the big ones were coming out. But, you know, maybe at the time they didn't know they'd be big, but now looking back, they are. So they were Alice in Chains' Dirt, Peter Gabriel, Us, Stone Temple Pilots' Core. Yeah. Not their biggest one, but...
It kind of helped.
Yeah, it helped kind of cement them pretty much. Like, oh, okay, here's a new band that's going to be pretty big.
Yes.
Then October had REM's Automatic for the People with Everybody Hurts. Come on, Caleb, sing it. Everybody hurts.
And everybody cries.
Sometimes.
It was kind of funny at work. Somebody at my work ended up playing that song, and the foreman just, after hearing that song complete, he really wanted to make it known that he felt like committing suicide.
Everybody hurts. So.
It's true.
Sometimes.
next is Soul Asylum, Grave Dancers Union with... Runaway Train, remember that one?
Runaway Train,
there we go.
Turn back. Runaway on a runway track.
Feels like I should be getting somewhere. Somehow I'm neither here nor there.
Woo!
All right, it's karaoke night here.
Play Free Bird. Free Bird. Then we had...
Anybody have a lighter?
Yeah, or the lighter app on your phone.
How modern is this?
I refuse.
No, it's just the metaverse coming back at you.
Yeah.
Now the app to make it look like my phone is a beer so I can drink it, I'll do that. But The lighter app, no. That's too cheesy.
Well, speaking of cheesy, we had Prince's Love Symbol album. This is the one I believe debuted his eventual symbol.
Right.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Prince, yeah.
As the squiggle.
The fruit.
Wait, what?
Remember from SNL when they were talking about when that like little bomb dropped, and he's like, and this is they put the symbol up on the screen, like, and this is the name for the artist formerly known as Prince, aka the Fruit. You know, it's a joke that stuck with me. I don't know why.
I apologize to the community out there who was probably offended
by
that.
Who feels represented by grapefruits.
We here at Robots Attack don't all have the same opinions as our incredibly insensitive
It was another time.
Caleb.
It was a more innocent age.
Anyway, next we had Insane Clown Posse's debut album, Carnival of Carnage.
Speaking of innocent age.
Exactly. And another innocent age, Madonna's Erotica. Mm. I know Caleb loved that album. And to round out October, we had the AC/DC live album, which I remember not like wasn't a debut or anything like that, but it was pretty big one. Like it had the cover of like the guitarist like jumping in the air, like I think he's without a shirt on and that's it's pretty recognizable. Mm-hmm. Like. Okay, November, Rage Against the Machine's debut.
Ah, there you go.
Oh wow, really? Yeah. And they've been raging ever since.
Yeah. Oh,
mostly, yeah. Now the Rage Against the Garden, I think. Or did that one also break up?
I think that one went away as well.
Okay.
Which I personally preferred over Rage Against the Machine. I liked the band, but the singer...
Right.
I like Chris Cornell better, so because I like Soundgarden better. So that's why I was like, oh, Audioslave. I like that because it takes a part of Rage Against the Machine that I liked. And a part of Soundgarden that I liked, and combined them, and
makes a little meta awesome.
Yeah,
there you go.
For me at least, but I'm probably, you know, not alone, but more people I'm sure like Rage Against the Machine a lot more. Next we had another soundtrack, Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard, which contained another song that you could not escape.
No, we're not singing that.
No.
I refuse. Want to hear Caleb sing that one?
They played that song so much.
Yeah.
Just the thought of it makes me want to gouge my eyeballs out, and I can't even hear it. It's just like,
You couldn't go to a mall during that decade.
and not hear that song at least five times while you walked around for 15 minutes.
No, I'm not even saying that. You couldn't go to a mall. They didn't have it cranked so loud coming out of every single store. And
sort of like right now. You just can't get away from it.
It sort of reminds me of again, going back to the Mass Effect thing, like if you do the deals with all the store owners, it's like you'd walk up every single store and it would be that song coming out of it. So I'm wondering, like, what was Whitney Houston running around trying to save the planet? That's my question.
It's possible.
She had to cut a bunch of deals in order to get cheap stuff.
That might be. You never know.
Okay, next. For November was Sade's Love Deluxe, which had the No Ordinary Love song, which I'm sure you're familiar with, the Indecent Proposal. They played that. Are you familiar with Indecent Proposal?
No, I guarantee he's not.
Very. I remember it coming out, but that's about all I know.
I'll pay you $1 million for one night with your wife.
Yeah, I remember the trailer.
Okay.
Don't do it.
It's the song that played with that trailer. It's like synonymous with that. If you hear it, like you'll go, okay, there you go. And then there was Ice Cube's The Predator, which had It Was a Good Day. Another like big song. It's sampled, like another one. If you hear it, you'll go, okay.
It's that one. That song. Okay.
It's like, I didn't have to use my 8K. Gotta say, it was a good day. Yeah. And then it had the sample of the other song. Then we had another one that I think Caleb was big on, and I'm actually being serious on this. DC Talk, Free at Last, Chad Jesus is Just All Right cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, I went to that concert.
There you go. That was 20 years ago. December was a very underappreciated Nirvana album, in my opinion, Incesticide. And
you and my wife would definitely agree on that one. It's one of her favorites.
Yeah. That one has a kick-ass version of Polly on it. And Dr. Dre's The Chronic. 20 years old. The Chronic.
And he's
it can't be any good anymore.
Wow. It's
a little stale.
Wow. Damn it. There's one more, but I should end it on that. But Jason will be disappointed if I don't mention this one.
Oh, man.
At some point within that year, Sublime's 40 Ounces to Freedom debut came out. So yeah, if you remember any of those albums, those are 20 years old.
They're old.
This year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking of music, there's a Chorus Showcase. Bay Area Showcase Chorus invites you to January Open House Nights every Thursday in January 2012, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at SES Hall, 1375 Lafayette Street, Santa Clara. Come check out what we're all about. Visit www.singharmony.org or call 408-973-1555 or email divas@singharmony.org. Yeah, see, I thought they forgot the Y in this one. Someone wrote it in for more information. All right, I believe now it is time for...
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
That's right. And, this is going to be the last time I'm going to be hitting this particular subject for a while, just because I'm sure some of you out there are just had it up to here.
What subject would that be?
That would be the Protect IP Act and the SUP Online Piracy Act, otherwise known as PIPA and SOPA. And no, it's not PIPA, the rather attractive sister of the new queen. And
so cute.
To the queen to come once the queen mother finally lets go of the throne, which is probably not going to happen, especially if you believe Eddie Izzard. Anyway, so...
she does have an iron fist.
Yep.
She has entered the Tekken tournament at least twice.
Got a grand coat on, got a cake in my head. Go watch Eddie Izzard. It's good stuff. Anyway,
Izzard or Izzard?
I believe it's Izzard.
Okay, there we go.
So the getting back to the subject at hand, when the DNS was actually still a part of the SOPA and PIPA acts, there was a lot of hue and cry over it from those of us in technology saying this was a bad idea, and then all the lobbyists were like, no, it's not so bad. It's just rogue sites, all those discreditable sites, those ones that we just don't want anybody associating with,
the ones with eye patches.
Yes. Well, the term rogue and pirate sites goes a little weird sometimes because companies say so, and when companies make strange decisions and have a lot of money, they can make things happen sometimes, or they can at least try to. And as an example of where this the whole like situation go completely sideways, I bring to you Monster Cable. Now, some of you may not know this, but Monster Cable has a legal IP team that must be like the happiest guys in the world because they are being told to go after anyone and everyone that might possibly use the name Monster.
They're a crack team.
Possibly. And I'm sure they're probably very good at their jobs, but they better be. They have enough practice at it now. But anyway, Monster Cable has a list of their quote unquote rogue sites. And at the top of this list is a little company called, you've probably never heard of it. It's called eBay. And then there's another.
What is this E of Bay you speak of?
Right. Are they located next to a bay?
They're not
filled
far
with ease.
They're not near a bay filled with ease, but they are near a bay if you go about, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes west.
That's not very near.
It's pretty near.
It's near-ish.
Near-ish. Anyway, the Craigslist and eBay at the top of their list of quote-unquote rogue sites.
It sounds like a rogue site if it's not near a bay.
But the list of insanity does not stop there. Costco is on the list. So are Sears and a couple of other sites that you may not know of as much. One called Backpages, which is like Craigslist for just another
people
version
with back
of,
problems.
There might be.
Okay.
But there's also one called Fat Wallet, which keeps track of coupons and deals.
Spelled with a PH, right?
No, with an F.
Okay.
Price Grabber and Computer Shopper, which are online comparison sites. These are all counted as rogue in a document that that Monster Cable has released. And yes,
are they hoping to accomplish by releasing this document? Just get them shut down, or
In this case, like they weren't really trying to get Soap and Pippa on these people at the when they because this is just general, like, these are people that we think aren't so hot about using our intellectual property, and this is more of an example of, you know, with a little more money and influence, if they really wanted to, if Soap and Pippa were in action and being, you know, actively
enforced.
The sites of these companies could potentially be taken off the net if this were to if this kind of thing goes through. So it's just one of those, like, you think it may not affect you think it's somebody else, but it's actually really close to home. And it's not just Wikipedia that's pissed off, it's not just Tumblr that's angry, or WordPress. This could potentially go very sideways, very bad.
Nobody cares until it affects them.
Exactly, which is why Wikipedia is one of the bigger protests, because they actually closed down the site more or less for a lot of people while for that one day.
I couldn't find out anything about Star Wars for an entire day.
No, that's you're looking for a Wikipedia. No, it actually exists. Yeah, I thought it was a joke too until I actually went there. I'm like, oh, so this is the semi-official, like, Star Wars wiki is Wikipedia.
See, it was a trap. I was just trying to get him to say Wikipedia.
That's a trap.
Clever girl.
So just a reminder that although Soap and Pippa are shelved for the time being, be vigilant, keep an eye out, you know, every so often tune into to a couple of tech blogs or whatever, see if your legislators are lobbyists are causing trouble for us normal people, because copyright protection really only hurts the people that want to legally buy things. All the pirates just don't care.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole locks only keep honest people out.
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not saying you shouldn't lock your door, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's like
well, I said on the radio, it only keeps all those people out. Might as well just not lock my door.
We're trying to build a brave new world here.
But like an example, like with music DRM, like, you know, back when Fair Play on iTunes was kind of standard, you know, you could have five computers or five iPods, and like, people started running up against that pretty quick, and that became a real problem for people, because they have to. And so it's once they all went DRM free and brought the prices down, people are like, oh yeah, I'll buy tons of music now.
Yeah.
So
make it easy. People will
make it easy. Make it inexpensive. Make it reasonable. That's all we're asking for,
then
is reasonable.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, everyone wins. You get money. You get paid. We get the product that we want at a price we're willing to let go of. You know.
Speaking of reasonable. Does free radio time sound good to you?
Yes.
KSU would love to hear from local nonprofits and government agencies. Tell us what services or events are going on, and we just might pass the word on to our listeners.
Woohoo!
Email traffic@kscu.org with the details. All right, so is it time for
it's
the core?
It's time for the core.
All right.
Going in. Whoever goes into the core is not coming back.
Core, the core, the core, the core.
Movies.
Sequels suck.
By definition alone, they're inferior films.
Full generalization, many sequels have surpassed their original.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books. Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
Power Glove. I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
Music.
Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s. Go.
Tech stuff.
This is the isobelabial interface which controls the main pyramidal drive unit. Don't touch that. Blow up the entire pyramidal drive.
What is a pyramidal drive?
Get those nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds! Oh. All right, we are back to the core. Okay, this week in video game releases, we have King Arthur 2, the role-playing war game for the PC. Woo, exciting.
Swords.
Yes.
Magic.
And two.
Two of them. Two swords. Two magics.
And then we have Assassin's Creed Revelations Mediterranean Traveler Map Pack for the PS3 and Xbox 360. Then we have Puddle, a physics-based puzzle platform game from the winner of GDC 2010's Independent Games Festival Students Showcase Division. Say that five times fast.
I can't.
I know.
That's a mouthful.
Neither can I. I could probably say it once.
I guarantee it.
It's on the arcade, the PSN, and the Vita when that comes out in America. For four, we have Scary Girl. Not Scary Game. Well, maybe it's scary. It's an action platform game based on Nathan Urvidesis' critically acclaimed graphic novel of the same name for the arcade and the PSN.
It looks like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. Then there's The Sims 3 Master Suite stuff for the PC and Mac. Then we have Quarrel, a word-based strategy game for the Xbox Arcade. Then we have Oil Rush, real-time strategy game based on group control for the PC, PS3, Mac, and Unix. Then we have Victoria 2, A House Divided, a digital download expansion for Victoria 2. And last but not least, I guess, I don't know, whatever. Mutant Muds for the 3DS.
Woo.
That wraps up your video game releases for this week.
It's a wrap.
All right, so let's see what's new in DVDs and Blu-ray. 50-50. See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Underdog, the complete series. Kojak, the complete series.
Ooh.
Nip/Tuck,
we love you, babe.
Yep, definitely. And Real Steel. There was those others, but I'm just like, I'm just going to keep to ones that I think that people might actually be interested in.
Yeah.
And on the
bigger ones.
Yeah. Let's see, on the heels of that.
The kids love the Kojak.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Comics, Absolute Kingdom Come is out. It's a hardcover collection of the of stunningly good Kingdom Come story arc with art by Alex Ross. Glorious.
Is it really?
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely something I need to get at some point.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
If any listeners out there want to purchase that for me,
email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Then there's you can. It's hard to go wrong with Usagi Yojimbo. New one comes out this week. Stan Sakai is always good, and he's one of the nicest guys in comics, for crying out loud.
Is he the guy from Star Trek?
No, that'd be George Takei, and this is Stan Sakai.
Oh, sorry.
Right, I can see where it might kind of diverge a little bit.
Easy
there.
To get him confused, eh? Mm-hmm. You racist?
Yep.
Sorry.
It's just your turn to be that one now. The Sixth Gun number 18 is supposed to come out this week. It's also being optioned for a TV series on Sci-Fi.
Hmm. What's that one about?
It's a supernatural Western.
That sounds kind of cool.
Werewolves and zombies and six shooters.
What was the name of that one?
Sixth Gun.
Okay.
Yeah, they have two trade paperbacks, and then the 18th issue is coming out.
Yeah.
Deadlands-ish, or
yeah, kind of. Okay.
Is there a little bit of the steampunk like pepper?
I think it's less steampunk and more supernatural.
Oh, okay.
but I haven't had a chance to sit down with too many of them. So
okay,
the Catwoman trade paperback is coming out, and this is the Catwoman that came out before the New 52. So it's going to be a little bit different.
Okay, who does the art on that one? Any clue?
I'd have to look that one up again. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Covers by Adam Hughes, probably.
There was at least a few of them. Let's see. And then, where was the next? Where'd it go? It rolled off my screen. No, come back.
How could you?
Things just roll straight off of that screen.
The Last Airbender trade paperback is coming out. And that is a series bridges the show with the upcoming new show, The Legend of Korra.
Huh, okay.
So,
when is...
Does it relate to the fantastic movie, The Last Airbender?
No. Thank God, no.
In some ways.
Well, okay. Strictly speaking, yes. Strictly speaking. But it's about as similar to...
Come on, Ong. Let's do this. You're the Avatar.
Okay, Ahsoka.
People are like, I don't get it.
You're better off if you don't get it.
That movie's a genius.
Oh, it's something.
Genius in its lack thereof.
Oh, come on. It's brilliant.
Earthbenders are awesome in that.
Worst earthbenders ever.
Yeah.
Come on. We can stand up to them. Let's do it. You guys can bend the earth, and I can bend the air.
It totally
together
seemed...
Together we could take the Fire Nation on.
It seemed like it was going to turn into like a music video yeah. at that point. I was waiting for Michael Jackson yeah. to like, pop up.
Who's bad?
It looks like the artist for Catwoman is either Cameron Stewart or Javier Pulido.
Okay.
Decide right now, Pulido. Which one?
I like Javier. Not in that way. I think he's cool.
Yeah, that was actually a really good Catwoman series. Really, really good. Not quite sold on the new one just yet, but...
Uh-oh. Yeah. Any reason why? Is it the art?
The art's okay. It's the character is being sort of over-sexualized, in my opinion.
Go on.
Yeah, it sounds...
I don't know.
And you married guys.
No, recently
all of a sudden you get respect for women and such.
Now in the New 52 they obviously released a new Catwoman and she's well
they made the suit even more sexual. Is that what they did? Or
she spends a lot more time with a zipper somewhere around her navel. And no, strictly
I'm not
speaking,
seeing the problem here.
I'm not. It's not exactly a problem in and of itself. It's just the treatment of the character seems to be pushed away from sort of a noir kind of character into more of just a character that's sort of like, well, she's sexy, so we're gonna draw her sexy every single panel. And it's like. It sort of works, but it's on the other hand, it's just like it's not as good as it could be, and it's getting a little annoying. It's breaking the bounds of reality. I realize it's a comic book, and it's always breaking the bounds of reality. But when you see like
her
like
zipper's called reality.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
but like yeah, it. Like the latest cover, like it's her like draped over a gargoyle, and she's spilling a packet of diamonds onto herself, and it just yeah, it doesn't take.
As I giggle like a little boy.
Slower, yeah, Caleb, slower.
Right, do the hand motions too.
No, so it's sort of like the comics. The writing actually isn't that bad. The writing's pretty good, but the art is still like assuming that people are reading it are 13 years old.
Maybe the artist is 13 years old, and we should be respecting him for how awesome his art style is for his age.
I'm sure that's no, that's not a possibility in this case. I'm pretty certain.
Aww. I thought I was on to something there.
There's just enough anatomical structure that he had to have spent at least a few years in school.
Well, you know, speaking of children.
Yes.
There is Project Sentinel. Does your landlord tell you that your children cannot play outside? If so, you have experienced housing discrimination.
Dun, dun, dun.
Children have the same rights as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Even
That's true.
If they draw in the comics, you know? More information.
Especially if they draw the comics.
Yeah. More information is available by calling Project Sentinel at 888-324-7468.
Yes, there sir. You go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that, it's just a little personal gripe that it seems like a lot of the costumes have taken reality and said, yeah, we're just going to ignore that for a while. And as and a little bit of that is sort of like expected, but it's getting a little tiresome.
She probably just needs to like start investing in locking zippers or something.
Yeah.
See, to me, that makes it more realistic.
But it's like
there's
it's,
physics problems.
It's not just like
it's downright mathematical.
It's like her costume is not being held together by anything other than imagination at this point. It's like toupee glue would not keep that costume attached to her skin. You would have to.
Come on! It's just a zipper. It's a little low. It would still stay on.
No. Some of these you're like, just like, no.
Things might spill out of it, but the costume would stay on.
Yeah, well, yeah. The entirety of the costume would more or less be still there, but it's...
And any problems with that could just be simply solved by a little bit of electrical tape. So, there you go.
Yeah, but this isn't Suicide Girls, so... No. No, I'm gonna go with...
Come on, at least one crossover comic? Is that so much to ask?
I'm sure it exists somewhere.
In my imagination.
I'm sure it exists in reality somewhere, too. I'm pretty certain.
Well, you know, since we are speaking of ladies, we did have that topic on there that you put about the female action stars. Why don't we talk about that one since we're on the subject of women? And
sure.
Female action stars.
Yeah, the latest movie, Haywire, just came out with the same director that did the Oceans series, Oceans 11 and 12, 13.
Okay.
And it features...
Soderbergh? Steven Soderbergh?
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. There you go. The actress's name is Gina Carano. And she is a MMA.
Yeah, she's an MMA fighter, right? And then mm-hmm. she was on
American Gladiators.
Gladiators.
Yeah, that's kind of where she cut her teeth. And Soderbergh watched her in a MMA match, she actually lost that match. It was a championship match, but he saw something in her style that he liked and wanted to make a movie based around her. So he made the movie Haywire.
Yeah, her style. That's funny.
Yes, style. Moving on.
So it just in the so that's kind of the latest, but currently. And then Underworld 4 just got released. So Kate Beckinsale and Mila Jovovich has another Resident Evil in the works. So and she's been
another one.
Yeah, another one.
Oh.
And it's just kind of like
those movies won't die.
Well, it's funny, hearing such high praise for the last one, I was really looking forward to it, and then I ended up watching it,
that was horrible.
Right, yeah, it was...
How bad was it?
It was easily the worst one out of all of them.
Oh, wow, really? Even worse than the one in the desert?
It was worse than
that one. Yeah, it was worse than that one.
Really?
It was
that
like,
one was really awful.
You start to think, like, wow, how can it not... How can a movie not have a plot that is like... Each plot slowly gets smaller and smaller in each new Resident Evil movie.
It was like Sin City was like seeping into the movie, not the comic. Comic, respect, but
yeah, all right. But anyway, just kind of this sort of and Angelina Jolie and a couple others. Like, there's this kind of this rising of upswelling.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of cool, especially the. I haven't seen Haywire yet, but I'm actually really interested because I've heard several viewers kind of compliment the fighting because it actually looks like people fighting, not just choreographed action scenes. It's like, this actually looks like it could have hurt someone. Like, she really does, like, she could, like, kick your ass, take your name, and, drag you down the street.
So it's like a Bruce Willis fight instead of one of these, like, giant Resident Evil fights.
Yeah. As I can tell, since there's an actual background in martial arts, there's and like real fighting, Like when you throw a punch to actually hurt someone as opposed to throwing a punch because they tell you to throw a punch.
Right. Not that Bruce Willis is like the master of all fighting. Yeah. Just, anytime I see him fight, it looks realistic. It looks like an actual person fighting.
It's raw.
Like, right. Not. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of cool. That there's, this is kind of becoming a little meme or trend in film. It wouldn't. You know, it's fun. It's good stuff.
It's been growing for a while. I mean, like Tomb Raider and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, not masterfully created movies.
Yeah.
They were still like kind of cool as far as an action movie goes. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the flip side on this. Now, while I'm not saying I dislike female leading action stars, like it's totally cool, totally fine, but where are like the cool male characters? Like, where are the John McClanes? Where it's like there aren't any more. It's where are the guys? Like, yeah, but this is rehashing all the guys from the 80s, yeah. Like Van Damme and Stallone. Like, where? I mean,
there's okay, the Rock, there's
all right, yeah,
Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, like right. Those, but
notice, no characters.
Yeah, exactly. Notice what you said. You said their actual names. Well, Dwayne Johnson / The Rock.
The Rock.
But yeah, there's no like, where are the John McClanes? Where, you know, like, where are those cool, where are the Han Solos? Where are the cool male leads? Like, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
it's funny. It's, like, the actual characters, it seems like it has
the Indiana Joneses
over to, like the female leads instead.
Yeah. It's like, where...
Yeah, I think it'll be a trend that will swing back again when someone says, you know, someone else says that it has actual influence on Hollywood's like, yeah, where are the, I haven't seen a good Die Hard movie in a while or something like it, you know.
See, I'm
write a character that will fill that role.
I'm kind of afraid that that's dead because I think people found out that a female lead will sell more tickets because. Like, girls seem to want more female leads because they get a little bit more gung-ho.
I mean, you look at, Fast Five, like, made a buttload of money, and that's, like, all dudes.
That's
one,
true.
There's one attractive chick in it. Well, there are more in the background and stuff, but as a main character.
Right.
But, yeah, it's, like, those movies, though, when they get, like, attractive leading men in them, like, it gets guys and girls because, like, the guys want to go see that movie because it looks cool, and then the girls will go and see it because like there's an attractive guy in it.
Right.
Whereas like an action female one, it's like, I might go see it, but I don't know.
It's funny again. Not a great movie, but I kind of would hope they would turn into something bigger. Is the last Conan movie? I wouldn't mind seeing more of those. Coming out.
That was cool.
Because I'm never going to think of that guy's name instead of like just Conan.
Yeah.
Maybe Conan O'Brien. But
yeah, there you go.
But, I think that might be the bigger point is that they haven't written a good like leading guy character for one of these stories for a while either. I mean, like Jason Statham, but it's like you go to see it because of Jason Statham, not because his character's name.
He's the transporter.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, it's his job title. I mean, like Jason Bourne came to mind. Like that was one that's sort of new. That's
Just wish they'd stop making that movie over and over again, personally. But
and then
it's just new settings for the exact same moves every single time.
Yeah, and then you have James Bond, but that's a character that's been around for ages, so it's like. They make new ones with him, but still, it's
not quite the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again,
where's the creativity at is the question.
Yeah.
Not in Hollywood.
Yeah. Or it's like, it's there, but it doesn't get nourished or anything. It's just like, okay, we need to make a remake or,
It's easier. It's quicker.
It costs less money to option this, to get the remake of Sabrina for the
Teenage Witch.
Yeah,
I'm sure they could do that one too.
Yeah,
it's an action movie.
It seems like a lot of the leading male characters. It's like Twilight or
I was gonna mention that. And I know some people probably they like Harry Potter and the Jacob and whatever that Frank or whatever the heck that
Edward
right.
Edward. There you
Steve.
Go. It's like, Steve. Okay, yeah, but those were books that they made into movies. So it's like, all right, I guess. I mean, but I don't know. It's
there hasn't been a really good, like, pure action. Like, like old school, I guess I should say, action flick for a while now that wasn't like, you know, Stallone getting together his friends to make a movie, which is awesome. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to Expendables too, well, but
it,
it's like...
It makes you wonder too, like what happened to all of the people that made those original movies that did really well, like...
They're all old and coked out or something.
Maybe that's the problem. But I mean, like, I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was a pretty decent like jump back into the limelight. Well, mm-hmm. Maybe not the limelight, but back into the fray for one of those kind of classic writer directors. But
yeah,
that would be good. The new G.I. Joe movie looks like it'll be fun. It looks bad, but it looks like it'll be fun.
It's funny. Bruce I'm Willis looking forward to that one just as much as the last one. Well, actually, more so because it looks like Snake Eyes doesn't have a creepy mouth on him this time. So
I don't know what costume designer thought that was a good idea, but they need to be slapped.
I think they just had like an extra face left over from like Macy's storefront or something like that. And they just like lopped half of it off.
Bloop.
Right. We need perfectly formed lips to say nothing.
Yeah. It's like, why? Yeah.
Do you think they also had the nipples on there too, like in the Batman?
Oh God.
The old Batman costume.
I didn't look. Maybe
well,
they
like
did.
Maybe like in the original, like, okay, we'll have the mouth.
Right.
And they're like,
they toned it down.
No, no, no. Too much.
Oh, right.
So they had to choose.
They had to pick one.
Right.
I guess we'll go with the mouth.
Along with the differentiated, like, separate testicle holders for the god beast.
Don't want to know.
They were like, too much. Yeah.
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 Across the line. There was a line and you just sleep right over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the summer is going to hold. Cause
I mean, we grew up in the '80s and whatnot. Like
right.
We had those characters to kind of grow up with. And but now it's like, what do they have, like, growing up with, like, what are their, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Heck, young people out there, fill us in. We definitely want your tweets and whatnot to find out.
Yeah, actually, let us know what you think on this topic. Like, are you...
Do you remember the Fast Five characters' names so well that you remember them quicker than the actual action stars playing them? Or...
yeah.
Or is it sort of the same sort of thing?
Where... I mean, I remember Riddick, like the character, only because the second movie.
I guess they're making another one of those.
Yeah.
So.
Yo.
Which is going to be awesome because the second one was so hilariously bad.
Yeah.
It can't go. No, I can't say that.
The hats alone.
Oh, and that director, remember when he introduced the movie? He's like, The Chronicles of Riddick. Obviously, people listening won't understand that, but like his eyes just opened up wide. He's so
self-important.
Yeah.
Like, I made the grandest film of all time, and it is named Riddick.
The Chronicles of Riddick.
And it could have been at least a decent action movie, and then it just sort of fell off a cliff.
Don't get me wrong, it's got some coolness to it, but...
But the plot got beaten with a stupid stick right after it started. So you're kind of like, I realize it's an action movie, but the stupid stick surely for like for the second half when you really don't care
anymore.
That's
a little bit dirty. Yeah. Stop talking about your stupid stick.
Your stupid stick.
Put your stupid stick down. Stop touching it, Caleb. Stop touching it that way. Oh man.
But let us know. robotsattackshow@gmail.com, robotsattackme on Twitter, and robotsattack on Facebook.
Yeah, leave a comment, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about those? Maybe there's some movies out there like, well, check this one out. This one has this. I'm like, oh yeah, didn't even think of that.
Right. Because we ignored it because we're old fogies.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember that movie. Did that come out on VHS?
Right.
If it didn't come out on VHS, forget it. Maybe Laserdisc too, but...
If it didn't come out on VHS, it's crud.
Yeah.
If it's not beta, it's scrap! Beta. one of the other failed format wars early on.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for tonight's show.
Since they are turning the lights off around us.
Yeah.
What? It's not even midnight. It's not, well, not even 1 o'clock yet.
It's true. It's not midnight.
It's not midnight anymore. It stopped being midnight about almost an hour ago.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks again for listening in. And we're here every Tuesday from 11 to 1.
Every Tuesday.
And if you can't catch us live, we put up the show on a podcast on our website, which is Caleb.
Robotsattack.me.
Yep. We have those up there, as well as Caleb's own little show that I'll let him pimp for you.
Oh, yeah. It's Around the Water Cooler. It's a little more freeform discussion than this, but it's fun. It's good stuff.
It is.
Jason's been on a couple of them.
I got my start there.
He did.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Caleb wears pants on that show.
Yeah. Thankfully,
unlike this one,
you
can't tell because I'm on radio, but there's the pants are in my hand right here.
Oh, jeez. At least cross your legs. That's all I ask.
I'm wearing shorts. Oh, God. Come on.
Yeah.
And with that, we're signing out. Take it easy, everyone.
What could possibly go wrong?
Call of Duty new maps. Woo!
Woo!
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.